live from the Third Coast. It is our time to focus on where genealogy and spirit connect. A time to focus on our connection with ourselves and our past. Here's your host, Susan E. King.
Hello, Susan King here. It is January 18th, 2011. I hope everybody is having a wonderful day. We have a wonderful show planned for you today. And the topic is something I think that we all need to think about, no matter what stage of our life that we might be in. And I don't know how many of you might wake up in the morning and say to yourself, why am I here? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? In any event, I think all of us in some way, shape, or form wake up on days where even if we think we know what our purpose is, we sometimes don't either have a good grasp on it or something has gotten in the way, maybe fear, maybe something that we need to detach from. We never know. So we're going to be taking your calls. I want to give out the number, 888-815-9756, because there isn't anybody better to discuss this topic than our guest today, Althea Gray. Althea is a healer, and she is a phenomenal one at that. In fact, I have to really admit that she's been very instrumental in helping me find my true purpose in life over these last couple of years. Because sometimes we think that we know what our purpose in life is. We follow our purpose for maybe 20, 25 years, and something happens. And then we realize suddenly that maybe the purpose that we had during that stage of our lives really isn't what our true purpose is moving forward. So, Althea, welcome to the show again.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
It is. And, you know, we've talked about this, and you've really worked with me over a period of time when I was struggling to find out why I was here and what I was supposed to be doing. Because, you know, over a 25-year period, you know, I thought my purpose in life was to connect and reconnect families that were separated during the Holocaust through genealogy. And suddenly, you know, I detached from that. And, you know, I think that the latest purpose, and I guess we can have many purposes, has been to help people attach to themselves and their real soul through researching their ancestors. So why is it in today's world when we are, you know, living in probably some of the most fantastic times that some of us just don't know why we're here?
Well, I have found over the last few years at different conferences and workshops that many of the people there have the same question. And that question is, why am I here and what am I supposed to be doing? Am I going to die and not know, live my entire life and never connect to why I'm supposed to be here? And so the first thing I want to clarify is that the day that you take your first breath and you come into this world, you begin your life's purpose. You are living your purpose every day, every moment, every second. What is the problem? Why do we feel this disconnection? And why, I've actually had people who are seniors asking that question. And what happens is there's a disconnection from spirit, a disconnection from understanding and connecting and learning lessons from your life experiences. So Freud believes that the first trauma that we have is the separation from at birth from our mother. And I would say that it goes even further, that we all carry this original disconnection, and that is the disconnection from our own divine spark. And that has created a loneliness, a longing that seems to permeate most people's lives. So even though people may be successful, they may have wonderful families, there's just always this kind of longing to connect to the Creator. And hence, human beings have created many different kinds ways to express this through different philosophies, religions. We all have different ways of trying to make this connection. And today, of course, meditation and yoga is a very, very popular way of people trying to connect to their divine essence. So how do we connect to our life's purpose? How do we take time now to assess our lives and bring the meaning up into present time?
Althea, just as an aside, it's never too late to do this, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. As long as you're breathing in and out on this planet, there's an opportunity. And I want everybody to really understand that, especially those who feel, especially during this economy, a lot of people feel like failures. They've lost their homes, they've lost their jobs and their careers, and they're in this kind of funny place, you know, trying to find meaning and purpose in life. And, you know, some of them saying to themselves, well, I've done everything I was supposed to do. I finished college. I have a nice family. I've worked hard. And now I have nothing. And I hear this a lot. I have nothing. And this sense of hopelessness, you know, that people have. And I want people to understand that there's always a time to give your life meaning, that people should never give up, because sometimes those experiences are the very things that you needed to begin this next piece in your life. So I wanted to explore a little bit about time capsules and how things unfold and how you begin to kind of review your life so that you can bring it into present time to understand the meaning of your experiences and to flourish, to begin to flourish as a human being. So if we have time today, I'd like to do that.
Let's do that, because, you know, I think a lot of people, and I know I do too. I mean, I think that we all have gone through some of the experiences that you just mentioned about losing jobs, losing things. But I think a lot of it gets back to really what the stage of our period of time that we're living in is really more about. It's really a fast pace, and it's really more about getting in touch with our own consciousness and the consciousness of our planet, which really means that all these things that we think we lost, we really didn't lose. Maybe we really need to be more connected to ourselves and the things that are not material in this world. And that's what I'm sensing. I don't know if that's...
Well, actually, we live... I would prefer to kind of keep people grounded and using their very everyday experiences to actually act as a way, as a vehicle for spiritual experiences. And let me explain how this works.
Okay.
First, we choose our parents, and of course we can argue about that. Sometimes we say, well, why would I choose parents that were neglectful or abusive and so on? But the soul came in and decided that for the way that I will reconnect to my spiritual essence, because that's what enlightenment is about. It's merging with your divine blueprint. Who you really are is it really sacred creature. And somehow, through time and life experiences and past lives, if you will, if you believe that, we have moved further and further away from our divine essence to the point where we've lost our way. So how do we find our way back? And first is to start a review of your life. go through, be meticulous, start from early childhood, and kind of create these little time frames, and say, well, from birth to six, I was learning how to speak. I was learning how to relate to my environment. I was learning to relate to my parents, and learning just how to walk, talk, and basic things. And that was your purpose. That was what you're supposed to be doing. And you were kind of forming your relationship to your environment, how you would think and relate to your environment. And many psychologists believe that you actually form your attitudes in life and how you relate to things before the age of six. Yes, I would say that's true, but I also don't want people to think that I'm stuck there and there's no way, there's no movement, because that's not true.
Right.
And so then we move on to, you know, 6 to 12. We're learning basic things in life, how to read, how to negotiate our way with our parents, and learning about how to have boundaries, if that's available in your household, where people were very good about that, teaching you how to basically exist on this planet, and how to eat, and how to, when we should sleep, and you develop friendships, and those friendships often are soul connections, and those soul connections also act as activators. They bring pieces of ourself out. It may enhance your personality. It may cause you to trigger soul lessons around anger and loss and all sorts of things. So, you know, our life is filled with meaning from the day that you take your first breath. And when you look at astrology, astrologers, from the time you are born, have already mapped out your tendencies. An esoteric astrologer may even get into your soul purpose and why you're here. So it already happens. Why don't we connect to it? It's because we don't have our consciousness in a place where we are constantly saying, oh, I'm having this experience, and I'm feeling and experiencing it this way, and this is what it's teaching me. This is what it's showing me. We're not used to thinking like that. We haven't cultivated that kind of consciousness. And as we go into high school, and we learn about how to have our own identity. We learn how to separate from our parents. And we learn and try to create, we begin to start to create our own kind of destiny, how we're going to be and operate in life, and perhaps what we want to be. So our culture usually provides some kind of mechanism there where the question is, well, what are you going to be when you grow up, you know? And so we may make choices of, we may discover talents, say, well, I'm very athletic, I'm artistic. So there's this kind of revelation, you know, through high school years. You begin to see, look back and say, oh, I'm this kind of person, I'm shy. You're able to identify it yourself. Now, when you go into college, and you're examining your freedom, your ability to, you're making choices now that affect your adult life, and some people take it seriously, some people don't.
Right.
But if there's some kind of awareness, if you've had some cultivation of, if I do this and this, it will begin to create or bring out some, this part of myself that I don't know yet. I might discover that, I'm a wonderful writer, and I didn't know that, and I have an opportunity to mentor with or be with people who have already made it as, you know, professors acting as mentors or peers, and you begin to, it starts to open up even more. But if you have consciousness and you're examining that period in your life, you can ask this question even now. You can start this time capsule and go back in time and say, well, you know, and listen with your heart, not with your mind. Do this kind of evaluation with your heart. I really learned this, and I experienced this. Start identifying things. Really get in touch with you. You know, you're a part of your life experience, and so you're having these experiences, but you're not used to asking these questions. And so if some of you have had very painful childhoods, and many have, as a healer, I experience this a lot with people, you ask this question, it pushed me to do this. It forced me to look at this. It forced me to be an addict, let's say. It caused me to be self-destructive. And in my self-destruction, what have I learned? What has it done to me? Where is it taking me? And so it's this deep, soulful evaluation of life begins. You begin to understand that this is not just a happenstance kind of thing, that all those experiences are leading me somewhere. It's leading me to something. It is part of my soul's purpose. I chose these experiences to take me somewhere. And sometimes people don't make it. Sometimes their early experiences are so overwhelming that they check out. They just don't have the capacity. The wounding is so profound that they don't have the capacity to go into that reflective place and become their own savior figure. They just can't get there. So, this you can do all the way up into your present time, present age. You know, do this deep, soulful evaluation of what is happening in your life and what is the meaning of it. And then I'm going to suggest that you drop, take the lesson and drop the rest. And even in positive experiences, take the lesson that you've learned and don't stay attached to those things. Allow yourself the freedom to catapult into the next phase of consciousness for yourself in this life. So it sounds like a lot of work, but if you really want to connect to your soul's purpose and the meaning in life, this kind of evaluation really, really is the richness. It will give you the richness of your existence.
You know, you bring up something that's, I don't know, I find it pretty paramount in some of the experiences that I'm going through. And what I thought was very interesting in what you just said is, you know, detaching from everything other than the lesson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been talking about detachment since the beginning of this year because I believe that is such a very hard, difficult thing for most people to do. It's not just the detachment from these past experiences, but mm-hmm. it's also a detachment from an outcome that you put in your brain that you're going to have, you know, that something's going to happen or it's going to work a particular way. And then you find out that you become very disappointed because it just doesn't work out that way. So really what you're saying, Althea, if I hear you correctly, is that if we add up all of our lessons over the years of our lifetime, no matter how long our lifetime has been to this particular point, that we take all of those lessons, we detach from all the feelings. Is that what we're talking about, is detaching from the feelings and the emotions? No.
What I would like people to do is to evaluate and drop the stories, because I hear often, I hate my mom. My mom did this, that. You hear all this chatter, and
right.
People stay in that chatter. And what happens is they're clouded. They're clouded by the interactions and not really learning from the experience. And so I'd like people to let go of, well, this person did this to me and that person did that to me, or this person owes me this. And because that endless chatter will keep you stuck in a time capsule. And we experience life through time capsules. And if you get to understand this and this, it is like a magic key. And it will open up this another phase of consciousness that you were supposed to get to. But, if you don't get the lesson, you may not get the magic key. So it's important. These evaluations are important. And frankly, yes, I think it's nice to have goals. And I do believe you should have some expectations with those goals, because that also is a part of your learning experience. The whole idea is that whether you get there or not, the whole experience in itself should be experienced to the fullest. Really, really learn as much as possible. And if you get there, that's great. And if you don't get there, then
evaluation. It's another lesson.
It's another lesson.
Yes, it is. It is.
I'm a good old Capricorn here. I'm very practical about woo-woo stuff. And, I think that, it's really being present and really always kind of, it's not staying in an analytical mind, but staying in your heart. What is this? What am I feeling? What is it showing? What is it? How is it nurturing me? How is it wounding me? And if it's wounding me, then what do I do? So all those, it's like playing a big game of chess. And if you make certain moves, then you get to have this other opportunity. You get the magic key. So, your life is, our lives are filled with adventure and meaning, but if we don't take time to have this kind of consciousness and a way to evaluate, then it feels like we have no meaning, that we've passed through this life, and what was it all about?
Althea, we have a caller online too from Virginia. Would you like to
Yes.
go ahead and take it's Chris, and I think it's probably a female, but I don't know. Hey, Chris.
Well, the last time, good morning, good afternoon, or good morning. The
last
time I checked, I believe I'm male, but I could check with my mom and find out for
sure. In this lifetime.
You're very male.
I do channel. I am 52 years old, and I've been, I have come, a long way with it since I was 13. I did some study and some work at the Monroe Institute here in Virginia, and I did some work with the military in remote viewing and channeling there as well. But the issue that I'm running into personally, and say in the last 10, 15 years, is I feel like I'm almost being punished for my gifts. And what I mean by that is when friends and family ask me to channel, and I do channel in, living energies or energies that are beyond, they don't like the answer, or they don't like the statements that are made, and people sort of like push me away. And I'm not quite sure. I mean, I'm a very positive guy. I adore life. I know that I'm just a living spirit here, having a human conscious awareness journey. But my question to you all is, how do I get, because it dampers my spirit, so to speak, to want to channel and to help people out when I'm told something from an energy that would help somebody out, but they just don't want to hear it. Am I making sense?
Yes, you are. And the first thing I want you to cultivate and ask this question, why do you need their approval? And so,
again,
when you're doing this work, I was labeled a very strange person through my life, and I had to stick with the big picture. And that big picture meant that that not all people will understand what I'm doing. But if I'm connected to my soul and to my spirit, and to my, gifts, and I am honoring my gifts, then I'm going to stick with it, you know, and listen to my heart, not my mind, my heart. And what I'm hearing in here is a little bit of, I need their approval. I need them to accept what I'm saying. And so as a channel, all you can do is give people the information, and you have to let it go. Because if at the end of the day, you're channeling and you're hoping that this will give you a better relationship to people or to your family and friends, it's not going to work. So part of your soul's lesson in here is learning how to have a love affair with yourself and to really be honoring of this special gift that you have, and that you don't need approval from the outside for this. And if someone is asking for this, first of all, make sure they're asking. Don't offer. Have really good boundaries with your gifts. And it may be that you will only do it in certain settings and not when people want to have parlor games at home and the families. Chris knows how to channel. Let's see what he's going to say and use you as a part. Just say no. You have the right to say no. I don't actually work like this. I prefer to work in this setting. And set some good, healthy boundaries about your own work ethic with your gifts. And the other part of it is that if you are a true channel of spirit, it is a true gift. It is a wonderful gift. It will help many, many people. But until you learn how to love yourself and feel really comfortable with who you are, you're going to always, maybe I didn't do it enough. I didn't give them enough information, or it's not right. You have to let that go. You really have to let that go.
Yeah, maybe I didn't explain it clearly, because there's nobody that loves myself more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
and I say that tongue in cheek, but that's a reality. And when I've done and I don't call it a work, I just, when I share my gift with people, and I've done it since I was 14 or 15 years old, it just seems like in the last, like I said, 15 or 20 years, that I've been doing it now for 40 years, and mm-hmm. But it just seems like in the last 10 or 15 years, if maybe, that I feel like, And I'm not looking for people's acceptance, because I got through that stage of it early on in life, mm-hmm. about people accepting me for who I am. And I know what gifts I have, and I know what beauty they bring to my life, mm-hmm. and to other people's lives as well. But it just feels like it's turning people off and away. And I don't worry about having their relationships or their friendships, but I'm the type of spirit that loves to encourage people and to motivate people to love themselves and to enjoy life. But it just seems like it's been, and I don't know if it's my approach, and I don't know if it's, my personality, but it just seems like it has been turning people off. And I didn't know if you would have any insight, and I don't know if I'm explaining it again correctly or not.
Well, I think you are. And I think that it sounds to me that still there is a lot of attachment to the outcome the affect and how it's affecting people. People are either going to hear the message or they're not. And there's no judgment here. Sometimes people, they're just not there. They can't do that yet. And so you let it go. And you can only present that which is Spirit is offering you and which you're channeling. And so my suggestion, it just sounds to me that you may need to set your practice up as a channel in a different way, and that people come to you, they make appointments, and if they don't like the outcome, that's all you know, this is what you're getting. This is what Spirit's telling you. And that's right. It. And you have to, I have, with my work, I have a before sheet and an after sheet. Because, for example, after a healing, sometimes people will attribute something going wrong, like their car is not starting, to the healing session that they've had. And it's because it's such an unusual thing that they've experienced. There's nothing in their world that they can say, well, what is this? What did I just experience? And so the after sheet helps people understand that they may feel a little tired, or they may have things come up, like a homeopathic event where you have a little bit of a healing crisis. I try not to take people there, but they may have a review of things that come up, then they're released. So I try to explain different scenarios so that they have a context to put their healing session in and not go way out on a limb and think, well, my car's not starting. Could that have had anything to do with my healing session? You understand?
Right. So, channels. But I've never used my gifts and my experiences as a business. I've never gone into business with it.
Well, you don't have to go into business with it. You just, it's setting up a way to work, you know, so that it's
organize it a little bit better for myself, so I can see I understand what you're saying, and that makes total sense. Because I'm just feeling discouraged at this point.
I don't think
I really should.
And actually, the feelings that you're having of feeling discouraged, I use as a way to discover what I need healed within myself. If something is, most of the time I have a kind of neutral experience with life. I'm able to experience it as it is. But sometimes something gets my goat and I'm really agitated. And that's a sign. Yeah, and it's a sign that there's something you need to heal. It's giving you a signal that I need to look at this much more deeply, because it's something that I need to look at. And because this is, and I can tell it's very painful for you, and so I would look at it not from a point of view of what someone else thinks, but as a part of your own growth.
Well, let me give you an example. Yeah, one of the things that Althea, how can people get a hold of you? Because, it may be worth getting in touch with Althea privately, to continue on with some of these issues, because I don't think it's something that we can probably resolve here in the length of time of this show. But, Althea, how do people get a hold of you?
They can email me at Althea, T is in Tom, H-E-A, at peachbuddha.com. And Peach Buddha is P-E-A-C-H, like the peach you eat.
Peach.
And then the Buddha is B-U-D-D-A. That's, it's Buddha without an H in it. So it's like peach butter.
So let me share with you what you were saying before, and then I'll let you ladies go. I was on BBS radio. I had my own little segment on Sundays for a little bit, and then I had to get off the air for a medical. I ended up having a brain tumor and cancer simultaneously when I started the radio show, and a few of my friends attributed me starts a radio program with, you know, and the cancer and the tumor coming up, you know, they try to play that in as, you know, well, this is what you get for trying to, you know, go public, blah, 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 which was total nonsense. But at the same time, they were able to see how I healed and was able to heal myself, which only strengthened, you know, my love and my belief and my knowledge of what we can accomplish in life if we have the right spirit and what I call mindset, because there's a definite difference between the mind and the brain. And right. If we listen to the guides and the spirits around us and our mind, then that's when the healings and the comforts come into play. And it's been my life in the last 7 months has been a wonderful testimony to what, you know, I have lived, you know, all of my life. And but when you said that just rang in when you said, you know, about the car breaking down when they started their healing process. I mean, that was the same as I started the radio programs, and then I came up with the brain tumor and cancer. You know, friends tried to affiliate that with me starting the radio program.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, was total
nonsense. You know, Chris, these things, you know, these things happen, you know, I think in everybody's life. And you know, this is coming, you know, some of the lessons, is it not, Althea, that...
The most incredible thing for him, for Chris, is that these diseases presented themselves to him in his life, and he journeyed through it as an explorer, and he used it as a tool to not only increase his awareness and consciousness, but also to prove to himself and to others, to use as a way to help others understand that disease is not something out of our control, that we have the capacity to heal ourselves. So it was a very, very important, sadly you had to go through that experience, but you really grasped all of what that experience was to show you.
So we have really a couple of lessons here, and you know me. I mean, I've had to change my gears because of the illness situation.
Absolutely.
And you know, sometimes these illness situations are really the wake-up calls.
Yes.
Because we're not in touch as we should be all along with some of the things that we need to be in touch with, our consciousness, our purpose, our soul, you know, divine spirit. And sometimes we have to get hit over the head sometimes to really be shown where our new directions are. And it's really all about new directions, is it not?
Well, you're bringing up a very good point, because there are people who are, especially those who are very spiritually oriented, sometimes will go through what I call the dark night of the soul or a shamanic death. They go through this life experience where suddenly it seems like everything's taken away from them. They have near-death experiences as you had, or they feel like they're dying. And it's actually a part, a very important part of a spiritual shift within the person. And usually the person goes through these experiences and they come out onto this whole other level of being. Again, you received another magic key. And so using mindfulness through these experiences rather than getting lost in it is really very, very important. And if you can't do it yourself, then work with a healer, work with someone who will help you unravel the story.
And, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you and I had worked together because, you know, sometimes you can't figure it all out.
Sometimes
and, you know, we need people like you in our lives to help us sort through some of these experiences and some of the situations that we were attached to, that we needed to let go. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, getting back to this whole thing of, you know, what do I mean, here we are, you know, and here we may have, you know, people may have thought that they were doing what they thought they were supposed to be doing in this life. They have an experience, whether it's a near death, something like Chris, that jolts them out of their current being, I guess is the only way I know how to say it. You know, what you're saying is that, you know, we need to take some steps back and we need to go through these phases as you've outlined at the beginning and throughout the show and begin to really learn how to take the lessons, discard everything else, discard the stories. And at that point, you know, things just begin to emerge that will help us find, you know, what it is that we are supposed to be doing?
Well, the thing is that getting back to this question, you are doing and being every single second, every moment. So it's not like something disconnected from yourself that all of a sudden there's a light there and it says, ah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You're in your life's purpose every moment and every second. So there's never a disconnection. The disconnection is in the spirit of the person where they are not in a meaningful relationship with themselves and their life. And so therefore, it always feels like it's something way out there. You know, something has to happen way out there. Now, being an active co-creative person in life is important. And so if you're going to take the role of a victim and sit back and expect it to happen to you, I dare say you will be very disappointed. So the taking the victim's role in life, that is the role of the blame, that everything's happening to me, and I don't know that I actually have all the keys within me for extraordinary things. You know, we all have the capacity to be extraordinary. But if it always has, it's projected outside, I can't do this because so-and-so won't let me do it. Or, oh, I can't do this because I don't have any money. I can't be happy because, you know, I have a sick child at home. I've found there's several reasons why people stay attached to a certain mindset. One is entitled. I'm entitled to feel this way. And the other one is, if I let this go, does that mean the other person's off the hook? So all of these are stories that we tell ourselves that keep us tied into a knot. And when I think about one person, you know, Nelson Mandela, a man who was in prison, and there was no, really, when he went into prison, he didn't know if he would ever leave those prison walls.
Right.
But what kept him intact? His spirit. He was connected to spirit. His spirit was strong. So that is what needs to be cultivated, and it's cultivated by understanding that all of our life experiences have a meaning, that it's a gift, that all these things are gifts and tools for us to come into this reconnection with our divine spark, because that's basically the underlying sadness that human beings have at birth. And it's more than separation from the mother. It's really separation from our own divine spark.
Now, you know, we talk about this. I think that you know, we all come in to this life, this life, with a blueprint.
Yes.
And they, yeah, there are things that are pretty much set in stone, and there are things that, you know, we get to different, you know, forks in the road, and we can make some choices that will guide us in, you know, in a different direction. So it's a combination of a blueprint with choices made along the way, correct?
Well, the blueprint is that, and I want to make sure you understand what the blueprint is.
Okay.
Is that this is the divine spark that is in every living thing on this planet. The tree knows it's a tree, and it knows what it's supposed to do. We don't know that. Human beings...
My dogs know what they're supposed to be.
Yeah, they know their dogs. Beetles know they're beetles.
So why is it that the people are seem to be the only disconnected entity and on the planet then?
It's our belief systems, what we believe to be true. And those beliefs take us in tangents and down different pathways. And soon we find ourselves lost. Our
right.
wonderful minds have... You know, I've often asked this question. When did this big schism happen? When did we separate from our divine spark? Why do we feel like God and me are two different things?
Religion.
Well, we created that.
But that, I think, you know, the creation of religion rather than spirituality is what I think separated us from our spirit.
Well,
that's my belief anyway.
Well, I believe that our thinking mind, it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's a wonderful. We've created these amazing things on this earth, and at the same time, it's gotten us into trouble. It's got us confused, very, very confused. So, how do we get back to source? Is really it's a process of understanding, well, this is what this is, and then letting go, releasing. And at some point, you will be in a state of beingness. You are being in your life, and that being is very rich and full. It's not, you know, again, we think that we have to do this and this and this and this, And then we will have this beautiful life. But you can have a beautiful life just as Nelson Mandela did in his prison cell. He never lost his spirit. And when he emerged from that prison cell, we saw this beautiful being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's interesting, a lot of figures in history who went through tremendous difficulties, somehow you look at them and you say, well, how could they manage to be so centered and such and still have this beautiful way about them? It's because they never lost their spirit, their divine spark. They were constantly in union with that. There was no separation.
So really what we're saying is that the way to find your, you know, to define inside of you, and let's just say that you're feeling a little lost in what you're doing, or mm-hmm. you don't really know what your purpose on life is, even though you have a purpose. The fact that you're here is really your purpose. That connecting with our true spirit, really, and especially in 2011, moving into 2012, at the rapid pace that things seem to be moving, is really, really, really critical for all of us to do, and to connect with ourselves and the earth, and to begin to love everything that is around us and get rid of all those things.
It's about being in a state of reverence,
yes,
a state of grace every moment of your life when you wake up in the morning. How do I bring reverence and grace to my life? And I like the Ho'oponopono. The Hawaiians have these phrases that they say before they do anything, before they meet anyone, because you don't know who that person was from another life and what shadows they're going to bring into your existence. So they say, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And that kind of sets the slate, kind of evens the playing ground, those few phrases.
And that would be for anybody that you meet?
Anything.
Anything.
Action, anything that you do, you begin it with that those things. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. It covers many.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything. And so cultivate. You know, life can be crazy around you, but make sure that you find ways to bring grace and happiness in your life. And I know a lot of people are suffering right now. There's a lot of families losing their homes and people losing their jobs. And they can't lose. They have to have a way to bring happiness in little moments and little things. And our the way we handle something, how we treat one another. That's in our hands. That's our choices, how we do that. You know, we may not be able to control someone taking your job away, but what you have left is you and what's on you and how you handle it. How do you cultivate happiness? How do you do that?
And, you know, you bring that up because I remember going through a lawsuit, and now we're going back many, many, many years. And one of the things I would always say to my friends, you know, who would say, how are you dealing with this? I said, look, I said, you know, they can take anything away from me. They may try. I said, but what they can't take is me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I kind of knew that long, long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because really nothing can be, you know, that part of you, nobody can take away.
No.
And if you have cultivated it properly, or if you work now to begin to cultivate it properly, that no matter what goes on in and around you, there is always something that nobody can take away.
Yes, and there's always something that you can do in your life that brings a smile to your face. Always. And it's your choice. It's your choice. So whether you have everything materially or not, there's still a choice, you know, what you can do to bring a smile to your face every day and how you can cultivate that.
Yes, yeah, smiling is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And it's contagious.
It's contagious.
I mean, it really is contagious. You know, one of the things I love to do is I love to go into Walmart when I go shopping. And I like to look at everybody's face and I like to give them the biggest smile. Mm-hmm. And there, it is fun to watch some of these expressions to go from, you know, total misery, you know, to working a smile out. And it just, I take great pleasure in doing that.
Well, you know, there's something that maybe your listeners don't know is your passion for music, and I love.
And you had an opportunity to watch that, didn't you?
And the person I watched this person on stage, and is it all right to tell everyone what you the instrument that you play?
Sure. Yeah, we play it as my intro and outro music.
Yes, I mean you play.
Steel drums.
Steel drums.
Yes.
You know, and it reminds you of the tropical islands and people dancing and having fun. And you do this yourself. No one's told you to do that. You said, well, I really like this. So you went about finding a good teacher and you found out how to get the drum. And here you are, you know. And I love that you have figured out a few people who also have this passion, and you perform in different places, and you know that gives you your life a richness, doesn't it?
It, oh, so, it, it Yeah, I mean, you know, here I am, you know, a genealogist, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, my whole life transforms for a couple of hours into some, you know, wild madness or something.
But, you know, the thing is that all of us have interest in things that we enjoy, but we just think, well, I can't do that today because I'm too busy, or I'm too old, or I'm all these excuses. And in reality, and would have, should have, oh, I hate those words, would have, should have, could have.
You know, yeah.
No, go do it.
And, you know, I didn't start playing until I was 50 years old.
There you go.
So, and then I had this near death and a stroke, and I couldn't even use one of my hands for a while. So, you know, that was one of my things that really got me well, was getting back into playing those steel drums. So, you know, there are all kinds of things. Chris found his way back. I found my way back. And I think, you know, the real key to what you're saying, Althea, and I think that everybody needs to take note, is that we can all find our way back if we find our way in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and to cultivate happiness.
Just there you
know
go.
That you're in your life's purpose every moment, every second of the day, from the time you were born.
And live it with joy.
What did you learn? What did you learn? How did you live your life? Did you live it this way or did you live it that way? You know?
And that's really what our purpose here is to learn how to live our lives to the fullest.
There you go.
There we go. Thank you for joining me again. I just love to listen to you, and I love what you do. Everybody, you can reach Althea at www.peachbuddha.com, PEACHBUDDA.com. And we will see you next Tuesday. This is Susan King for Genealogy and Spirit Connect.
You have been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect with Susan E. King. Each week, we will focus on the spiritual journey of connecting ourselves with our ancestors. Join us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. For upcoming show information, you can visit Susan's website at www.susaneking.com.